to the adventure on Putnam on W4CY Radio.
Wake up, America! It's time for the adventures of Hype Man on W4CY.com, West Palm Beach's number one internet radio station. Here's your host, the Hype Man.
This is the Pipe Man here on the Adventures of Pipe Man W4CY Radio, and I'm here with our next guest all the way from Norway, which is pretty cool. So I would like to welcome to the show Gerhard from Einherjar.
Thank you very much.
And I think I butchered it anyway.
not too bad, actually. It was good.
I was trying.
It was not only good, it was good enough.
Yeah, I was trying to say it the Norwegian way, the right way. The band name for all you listeners, and I was practicing beforehand to not butcher it, so I got really nervous saying the name.
So don't worry about it.
It's Einherjar.
Yes, it is.
Ah, now I did it.
Yeah, you did it.
Nice. Well, it doesn't really matter because your music is brutal and badass, so that's the most important part. I love it.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, thank you. You hear the new album?
Yes, you got the, it's your eighth studio album. It's releasing on February 26th called North Star. And I have a question. You know, without me knowing Norwegian at all, okay, I was looking at your predecessor. Is that how you say North Star in Norwegian with your predecessor album? I'm going to try to butcher this. Naron Spor.
No. It's not the same, actually. It's more like Norse tracks.
Oh, okay.
Or Norse trails, if you like, you know, North Path.
That's pretty cool. See, like, I just looked at it, and it looked like, well, that would make sense.
Yeah. So Norren means, like, Norse.
Okay.
And tracks is like... let me see. Where do we have them?
In nature, spoof, right?
That's like, tracks. Yeah, tracks in nature, or it's like a wordplay, you know, like songs, tracks. Yeah, both of them, you know.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Totally. Well, and what I love about your new album is it was recorded in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic, you know, and... So there's different things. I've interviewed a lot of bands over the past year, and some had new music that they were going to release and then didn't. And there were other people that had new music, but then they released it during COVID. And then there's the bands like you, which I really love, the ones that are actually making new music during this. And I'm of the firm opinion that because of the downtime, because of the ability to really sink in and be creative, that some of the best music we're ever going to have are the people like you that are writing new music and producing it during the pandemic.
Yeah, kind of agree. You know, the point as well is that this is the only thing we could do right now as a band.
Exactly.
We can't go anywhere. We can do jack shit, basically. So... the only thing we could do was to write new music and, you know, sort of work with it until it's perfect, you know. And it was supposed to be released in October, actually, in 2020. But because of the pandemic, it was postponed because, you know, all countries have different regulations. You know, you know everything is unpredictable right now due to the pandemic. So it was postponed. So we got even better time to actually work with it in the studio. And, you know, we work in the studio of our vocalist, Frode, right? And we all live like 10 minutes apart from each other, so we can work whenever we want.
Nice.
It's really convenient, you know.
Yeah, and you know what you were saying was my whole point of why we're going to have such great music coming out of this pandemic, because when you're an artist, you know, before the pandemic... You really didn't have the time to perfect the creativity. It was like, you know, on a bus ride to another show, we're going to write some music, you know?
And yeah, but it's not really. Yeah, I see that's maybe the case for many bands because they travel a lot more than we do, you know. We actually do not travel that much because we actually have works, you know, all of us work daily, you know.
Yeah.
So we, in any case, we would have to do this, you know, either in the afternoons, in the weekends, or in the vacation, you know. But right now, during lockdowns and restrictions, we have a lot more time to actually concentrate on the album. It was nice, actually.
Yeah, you know, this way, you're just like, I think you're more, you can be more creative when you're relaxed and can really just, you know, focus and just let those creative juices flow, as they say.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember it's actually been sort of like that for the last few albums for us, because we recorded most of the stuff here at home locally in our hometown. And I remember, you know, we had a break from around 2004 or something until 2009. And before that break, all the albums were sort of, we had to travel somewhere for 3 weeks, finish the album and go home.
Right.
And that was, when I think about it now, I could never do it again. You know, it's terrible. You know, a lot of, you know, stuff that you, I mean, you're not happy with it.
Yeah.
You know, you just fast solutions and stuff like that were thrown out the door.
Absolutely.
So this stuff is a lot more for us, you know, and the older we get, it's more for us, you know.
Nice.
Yeah.
What I think's really cool, too, is this album marks the return to Napalm Records after 25 years. I find that amazing because, like, I love Napalm Records, and I remember way back Napalm Records, and it's like, it's amazing to me that you weren't with them for 25 years and you're back, and that's just a testimonial to Napalm Records.
Yeah, I think so too, and I, to be honest, I never saw this coming myself. It was just, we've been on Norwegian labels for quite a while, actually, many, many years, like quite small labels, which has been really good for us, really. But now, on the last album, our contract has been fulfilled. So we just thought that we wanted to, I don't know, fish around to see if anybody else were interested in us. So, and when Napalm actually said that they were really interested, it was kind of a no-brainer for us, you know. It's like we've gone full circle now.
It's like going home, right?
Yeah, basically.
So what happened? How did Napalm Records decide to come back to you and say, hey, we'll take on this album?
Well, actually, I'm not sure if that's exactly what happened because, well, now I personally, I don't have any contacts, you know, with the record labels and stuff like that. So that's Frode, our vocalist. I think he were in contact with them first and just asked if this is what something that they were interested in. And they say, yes, absolutely. And they're also releasing, you know, our debut album, re-releasing the, you know, the debut album again on the same date as we released the new album.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I like.
That's awesome. Yeah.
People need to get a package. They gotta get the original and the newest.
Yeah, definitely.
I love it. How would you say your music compares between the two albums?
You're thinking about the new one and the debut?
Yes.
I'm not sure. I remember when we sort of released Dragons of the North, and when I think about it now, it's more like a bunch of guys who are not don't know what they're doing, just writing stuff, you know? And it, in the end, it sounds very fresh and original, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we weren't following any kind of recipe at all. And I think that album still stands today as something really different at the time, you know?
Yeah.
It was in 96. And, you know, you have to remember that that era in Norway was full-blown black metal, new wave of Norwegian black metal, you know? Yeah. So that's where we sort of had our upbringing. you know, we're also inspired by some of that stuff. And I think that's sort of colored our music, you know, is it sort of a mix between a little bit of black metal and a lot of classic heavy metal, which is still the main influence for us. and a bit of folk, actually. And I think now we had some kind of renaissance or, you know, different kind of thinking from Norren on to the newer albums, where we kind of maintained our style in a more stable way, I would say. Because if you take the first four albums, they're quite different, actually. And then you take the four last ones, they're more like stable progression, I would say.
Nice.
Yeah. And I think now, at least the two last albums has been completely recorded at Frode's place and also mixed there. And they got their own sort of completely different sound as well. A lot more bombastic sound than earlier, you know. So I think mainly the songwriting kind of follow the same recipe almost all through our career, basically. Maybe a little bit more riff-based now instead of arrangement and melody-based like it was earlier. But who knows? We might get back to that.
Well, I do have to say, one of the things that you said that hits me most, and it's true of a lot of bands, and I think a lot of listeners don't realize, is, you know, when you put out that first music, like you said, you don't really know what you're doing. You're just doing it, you know?
Exactly. You're just sitting there and, you know, you're probably inspired by a lot of stuff, you know?
Yes.
But you've never done this before.
And you didn't really find your sound yet, like usually.
Exactly, and I don't know. I think my idea is that's why the first albums are often the best ones from bands, you know, because they're original, they're fresh, and stuff like that. So,
well, it's so funny.
Not always, but
it's so funny you should say that, because I'm one of those people that there's a lot of bands that, like, I've, you know, followed my whole life, that their first album is the one that's my favorite. But if you talk to the bands, the first album is not their favorite because they realize how much they didn't know what they were doing.
No, but I realize it. But that doesn't mean it's my favorite album. It still stands very strong. But it's when I say it's not my favorite album, it's not because I dislike it. It's just I don't really have a favorite album.
Yeah, that's like picking a favorite child, right?
Exactly. And, you know, this is not always, for example, when I listen to Iron Maiden, for example, I don't think the first album is the best one. You know, I think those got better during Power Slave, you know, in the middle, you know.
And see, me, Killers is my favorite.
Okay, I'm more like Power Slave, Seventh Son, and maybe Somewhere in Time, actually.
There you go. And see, like, that's so funny, because that just, that shows my point, too, because... like I felt after Number of the Beast, things started going downhill.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's because I'm looking at the raw, like Maiden was so raw. And then somebody like me who started listening to Maiden in like, what, 80 or something like that, you know? And so by the time they got to those other albums, it's like, you know, because I was that teenager into the raw metal, I was like, it's too overproduced.
Yeah, exactly. You change track. Mm. And also, I think this has almost everything to do about nostalgia. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it.
You know, it's like a Slayer.
Oh, there's another.
Huh?
I was saying there's another. Like, I've seen Slayer like 500 times. I used to be friends with him back in the beginning. I saw one of their first shows ever. So Show No Mercy, to me, is my favorite album.
Yeah, exactly. So they can never be, it doesn't matter what they mean, they can never be as good as Show No Mercy and South of Heaven, all that stuff, no matter what they do now, for some people, because of nostalgia, you know?
Yeah, it's total nostalgia for me, too. And,
yeah,
you know, and then it's like, that was the beginning of that type of music. So that's also the nostalgic part there. It's like, before you had a Slayer or a Venom or anybody like that during that time, there was nobody else doing that. So this was the new, like, I remember Welcome to Hell when I first got that album, when it first came out. I was like, oh, my God, I've never heard anything like this ever in my life.
Yeah, I remember the same thing about Hell Awaits by Slayer, you know?
Yeah, that's a good album.
Yeah, it's like the most brutal stuff I've ever heard. At the time, you know.
Exactly. You know what's funny about that? I was talking about this in another interview. me and my best bro that, you know, we've been bros since like 13 years old and went to so many shows together. I remember back then listening to certain things and going, wow, this stuff is so brutal and so fast and so heavy. And then we were driving to a festival like 2 years ago and we're playing stuff. And he's like, he turns to me, he's like, I remember this being heavier and faster.
Yeah, exactly. Because from that time, things escalated a lot.
Yes, you know? No doubt.
Now we got dying fetus and Nile, you know, and that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Just like, you know, on a different level.
No doubt about it. And that might be the reason for feeling about bands like Slayer, Metallica and stuff, because I feel personally they didn't get heavier or faster, whereas the genre was getting heavier and faster.
Exactly. Other bands.
Exactly. So interesting. And that's probably why I liked their original stuff best, because it was the heaviest and the fastest, you know?
Yes. And I feel now when Slayer is just an example, but with the release new stuff, I don't know. It's like they're trying to copy themselves in some kind of way.
That's so true.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's not the same. They're not that invigorating anymore for me.
Well,
I have those old albums, and that's enough for me.
So. Well, you know, how funny that is that I was interviewing Joe from the Vandals one time, and he's like, I didn't ask the question that every other press person was asking. Every press person was asking, when are you guys going to come out with new music? And during the interview, he's like, listen, I just got to thank you for not asking that question. Because really, who wants to hear a bunch of 50-year-olds writing new punk rock music?
Yeah, exactly. But in my experience with our band, people want new music, actually.
Yes.
That's very strange.
That's cool.
I find it very strange. And, like 5 years ago or something, we re-recorded our debut album, Dragons of the North, right? It had a 20-year anniversary. That's one of the 8 full lengths, basically. Oh, it's one of the 9, actually, yeah. And I don't know why we did it, because I know if Slayer, for example, chose to re-record Hell Awaits into some kind of new and modern sound, I would hate it.
Oh, yeah. Same. So I Show No Mercy.
Or Show No Mercy, you know. But we did it either way, you know. And people really liked it. Many people say it's actually better than the original, you know. You can't convince the old school fans, you know. But it's very strange that people actually like it.
Well,
I would hate it.
Probably because you didn't try to make it too different. Like, if you took, like, Show No Mercy and tried to make a modern version, it wouldn't sound like Show No Mercy. Show No Mercy, what was cool about it was that it was so underproduced and so raw and so, like, if you started making it, I equate it to sometimes the movies that they redo nowadays from when I was a kid, like, they're not as good as they were when they had cheesy, bad special effects. It's like they just made sense. They didn't make sense to be overproduced.
That might be nostalgia again. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that may be the case.
Yeah.
For sure.
Memories are powerful, you know.
Yeah, no doubt. But then you're right, because then you take people that never saw the old movies and they love the new ones. And
yeah, exactly. The same with movies that are based on books.
Yeah.
People who have read the books hate the movies, but people who didn't read the book love the movies.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. It's kind of like Harry Potter. I saw the movies before reading the books.
Yeah, actually, Hunger Games stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I read the books, and they were actually good, and I hated the movies.
Well, there you go. Proves the point right there.
Proves the point.
You know, and it's same with video games. Like, I've been a gamer since the first video game ever made, and I remember showing my kids some of the old school video games, and they're like, Dad, what the hell is that?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm trying to show them how cool it is, and they're like, yeah, it's not too cool.
No.
And
it's a different world in video games right now, you know.
Oh yeah, no, it's funny too, because the other day on my Xbox Pass they had a special to download, like, I like to play NHL, and so
yeah,
you could download NHL 94, which I think is the first one, which I had, you know, I had the first one, I remember having it, and then yeah, I downloaded it, I played it, and for about 10 seconds I was real nostalgic about playing it. And then after that, I was like, man, this shit really sucked.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember the same thing, you know, Final Fantasy VII, which is like a classic
yeah,
game.
Totally.
That was like my total favorite game back in the day. And I just Googled it, you know, how it really looked. And yeah, I mean, it's really old now. And did I play that crap, you know?
Exactly.
It looks terrible.
No doubt. And we thought it would yeah, look great. Like, look at these graphics.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like a head with 4 pixels, you know? Yeah,
exactly. Oh, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, February 26th, need to get the
yeah,
new album, North Star. Tell everybody how they can connect with you guys on social media, how they can get the new music. And, you know, you're doing the re-release of the Dragons in the North, too, so how they can get everything.
They can get everything basically from Napalm, at least, you know, and we're also on Facebook and Instagram. We're not so, we're too old to be social, you know, so we're not on Twitter or Snapchat or anything like that yet.
Oh, you mean you don't have a TikTok?
We don't have a TikTok yet.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, though, a lot of bands are doing that now, so.
Yeah, everybody's doing it, you know. I don't even know what it is, basically.
Well, it's kind of like, you know what it reminds me of? The way TikTok is now is like when MTV first came out.
Yeah, but MTV, it was good when it first came out, when it was actually music on the channel.
Yeah, right? Go figure.
Yeah.
I remember I used to, this was my daily life, I used to have MTV on the TV with the volume down, and then I used to have my album's playing through, the stereo played through my guitar amplifier. I use that as my speakers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, and then when a good song came on MTV, then we would turn the volume up. We would just watch MTV like 24 hours a day to wait for the good songs. And then, of course, you had Headbangers Ball, which was amazing then.
Yeah, I remember, like, Motley Crue, like, Looks That Kill and The Last in Line with Holy Diver.
Yeah.
No, with Dio, you know.
Yeah.
Both songs.
Absolutely.
I remember those songs vividly from that show, actually.
That's wild. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing how things are now, and here we are with some new music that is, I got to tell you, I'm going to tell my listeners, this stuff is brutal, okay? So if
you, thank you.
If you like brutal, brutal metal, this is, you need to go out and get this album.
Definitely.
And I and there might be listeners out there and that are probably going to himself, oh, why is this guy saying thank you? Because he said brutal.
But yeah, no, that's a good thing, you know.
Yeah, somebody that's into metal knows, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Brutal's like a high compliment up there. In fact,
lots of energy, you know.
I can't wait till this COVID crap's over. Maybe I could be in one of your pits at one of your shows.
Yeah, I can't wait to get out, you know. It's been a while. Yeah, we're having hopefully one gig here in our hometown.
Oh, nice.
On the release date. Yeah. It's like a limited gig because of the situation. But
yes.
You know,
it's going to be weird, right?
I don't know. It's going to be weird. It's like a seated audience in a theater, you know. But still.
Oh, that's a trip.
It's a gig.
I wonder how long it'll take for some brutal metalheads to like pull the seats out to create a pit.
Thrown out.
Yeah, there you go.
Most likely.
All of a sudden, they just start taking all the chairs and throwing them.
Yeah, but they're bolted fast. It's just like a movie theater kind of thing.
Yeah, you have to bring your tools with you.
Exactly, your DeWalt.
There you go. All right, well, cool. Any final words you want to leave our listeners with?
Not really, just to check out our band. I mean, there's probably a lot of these guys who listen to you now that never even heard of us. We're from Norway. We're in a niche style, you know. So just encourage them to check us out.
No doubt.
Maybe you'll like us.
They will definitely like you. If they like any kind of black metal, they will like you. And for my listeners, just so you know, they've kind of been coined as like a cross between Nordic black metal and folk metal. So it's pretty badass.
Yeah, it's like heavy metal with the black influences and folk music stuff.
I love it. It's amazing. All right. Well, thanks for time. Thanks for the great music. And thanks for being on the Adventures of Pipe Man.
Thanks a lot for the interview.
You got it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Adventures of Pipe Man on W4CY Radio.